Hey, how are the early risers doing this morning? You guys doing all right? Thank you for getting up early to come and worship with us. If you happen to be here for the very first time, we're really glad you're here. Hope you enjoy yourself while you're here. Let me introduce myself to you if this is your first time. My name is Brian Anderson. I'm one of the pastors here at the Vineyard. You know, every once in a while, we show a story of someone in our church family whose life is being changed by God, because that's our mission statement: transforming ordinary people into extraordinary followers of Christ. And so we want to highlight those kinds of things every once in a while and sort of show you some of the things that are happening here. In fact, if this is one of your first times here, that little video you just saw, it's sort of like a snapshot of what our church is all about. We're all about trying to, you know, allow God to use us to transform people's lives into extraordinary followers of Christ. Well, you know, if a person lives long enough, every human being will eventually reflect on the questions of who am I, why am I here, and where do I find a sense of significance, a sense of purpose? There was a book written a few years ago that asked 250 of the leading thinkers and writers of the 20th century to respond to the question, what is the meaning of life? Now, the people who were asked this question, they were all people who had written previously about this. And yet the majority of those people wrote back and they said that they didn't know what the meaning of life was. In fact, many of them said they not only didn't know what the meaning of life was, but they didn't even think there was a meaning in life. Some of them wrote back and said, if you find out what the meaning of life is, please write back and let me know. Isaac Asimov, he's a famous writer, he said, as far as I can tell, there is no purpose in life. Albert Ellis, one of the preeminent psychologists in the 20th century, he said, life has no intrinsic meaning whatsoever. Man, isn't that depressing? Most of the great thinkers of our time don't even think that there is a meaning to life. And if there is one, they don't know what it is. I mean, is it any wonder that suicide has become the number two killer of teenagers today? But see, that's what happens when we become untethered from a sense of meaning, a sense of purpose, a sense of identity. And so what is the answer to those questions? Who am I? Why am I here? Where do I find identity? Where do I find significance and purpose? Well, thankfully, the Apostle Paul, he answered those questions 2,000 years ago when he wrote to the church at Ephesus. And part of that letter, he said in Ephesians 2, verse 10, that we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. And so from this verse, let's look at those questions. First of all, who are you? Well, you're not a cosmic accident. No, you are a piece of work by God. Second question, how are you made? You were made in Christ Jesus. And third question, why were you made? Well, you were created to do good works. See, there's a reason why every human being on earth has dreams. There's a reason why every human being wants to have a positive impact on the people around them. It's a pointer, it's a signal as to why you were created, why God made you. And Paul also says here that God didn't just plan you. I mean, he did plan you, but then he also planned good works, positive impact that he wants you to have on this world, on the people around you. And so that's what I want to do in this message. I want to walk through the implications of Ephesians 2:10 with you. I've called this message Created for Impact. So if you have a Bible, you have a smartphone, you have a tablet, please open it up to the book of Psalms, Psalm 139. Psalm 139, we're going to begin in verse 13. And as you're opening the scriptures, let's also pause in prayer for a moment and let's pray together. Would you pray with me? God, we do ask for your presence to come and really teach us this morning. We do our best right now, God, to open our hearts to you, open our minds, And we ask you, God, would you use the Bible, would you use the scriptures to speak into my life circumstance today? Whatever I need to hear from you, God, I ask that you'd speak to me loudly and clearly. I ask that you'd speak to us as a church family loudly and clearly. And God, I pray for myself right now as well. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would come and fill me, that you would empower me right now, that you would give me the spiritual gift of teaching, so that I would be able to teach exactly the things that you want taught. Because, God, we truly do want to hear from you today. And so come and have your way in each one of our lives, I pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. So the first thing Paul tells us in Ephesians 2:10 is that we were designed by God. We were designed by God. We're not here by accident. And so that means that I need to seize the person God made me to be, because I'll never be anybody else. See, God designed your body. He designed your temperament. He designed your personality. He designed your mind. He designed your sense of humor, your DNA. You know, one day, the God who thought up the Milky Way, the God who thought up every galaxy and every star and every black hole, you know, one day that God thought about something else that he wanted to create. And that something else was you. Now you might say, well, Brian, how did God feel when he thought about creating me? God felt joy. God delighted in you because he wanted there to be a you in his universe. I mean, isn't that amazing? You didn't just happen by accident. You are here because God wanted you to be here. Look at the way the psalmist says it. I had to turn to Psalm 139, verse 13. He's saying this to God. He said, you made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. See, you are God's workmanship. And that's why comparing yourself to somebody else is so spiritually destructive. See, God made you to be you, not to be somebody else. And that's one of the things that's so remarkable about every human being, is that every single human being is God's workmanship. Now, I want to show you something that Moses said to the people of Israel. Remember in the Old Testament, the people of Israel were known as God's chosen people. And when they were coming out of Exodus, out of Egypt, and out of slavery, God spoke to Moses to speak to the children of Israel. And I want you to remember, this is a little ragtag group of people. This is not a very important group of people. They have no power. And this is what God says through Moses to them in Deuteronomy 7. He says, the Lord did not set his heart on you and choose you because you are more numerous than other nations, for you are the smallest of all nations. Rather, it was simply that the Lord loves you. See, the Israelites had no great army, no great commerce, no great trade. And so what did Israel do to cause God to set his heart, to set his affection on them? What did the Israelites do? They did nothing. See, that's not the way it works. They were just God's people. And of course, God doesn't just love Israel. You know, that's one of the great understandings that God had to reveal about himself to the world, that God wanted to bring his love to every single person through the Israelites. See, that was the original plan of God, was that the Israelites were to do these good works that God had created them to do. And so he gave them the law, he gave them the Torah to explain to them what life looks like and what those good works would look like, so that eventually the whole world would come to understand that everybody was created by God and that God loved everybody. That's what God wanted to communicate, that God loved every single being, human being, the same way. In fact, Augustine said it this way, God loves each of us as if there were only one of us. Isn't that amazing? Think about yourself. See, God did not set his affection on you because you're so great or because you're so smart or because you're so successful. No, God loves you. God set his affection on you just because that's God's grace. That's the way God is. You know, I read about this dad who was trying to teach his little boy about grace, about the grace of God. This little boy's name was Isaac. And every once in a while, Isaac, as all little children will do, if you're a parent, you know this, he would do something that he ought to be disciplined for. And usually, Isaac's dad would discipline him for whatever he did wrong. But every once in a while, just to teach him, Isaac's dad would say to Isaac, "Isaac, I ought to discipline you right now for what you just did, but I want you to know I'm not going to do it. I'm going to cut you some grace right now." And then to teach him, the dad would say to Isaac, "And Isaac, do you know why I'm going to cut you some grace right now?" And Isaac would say, "No, Dad, why?" And the dad would say, "No reason at all." He said, "There's never a reason for grace." And then one day, Isaac was about 6 years old, and Isaac's dad said that Isaac did something really, really bad. And his dad was just furious at him. And his dad was going to let him have it, and Isaac was really scared. And so Isaac looked up at his dad and said, "Dad, could you cut me some grace?" And the dad was really mad. You know, if you're a parent, you know the way that we sometimes get at our kids. And his dad ended up speaking without thinking. And he said, "Isaac, give me one good reason why I should cut you some grace right now." And Isaac looked up at his dad and said, "Dad, there's never a reason for grace." Pretty smart kid. But see, that's the way it is with God. There's never a reason for grace. God did not set his affection on you because you're so smart or so successful or even good. It's just because that's who God is. He is a gracious God. And he loves to make his grace available to people. And even right now, you know, even today, maybe you'll be aware this morning that you haven't really been walking in the path of the good works that God has created you for you to do. But whatever you've been doing, I want you to know that grace is available to you today. If you just turn to God and confess your sins and repent of them and come back to God, grace is available for you today. God is a gracious God, and he sets his affection on you just because you are God's workmanship. That's the first thing Paul tells us. And then Paul goes on in Ephesians 2:10 and says, not only did God design you, but you were also made to live and grow in God. Look back at Ephesians 2:10. We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. Now, I want you to notice where he says, we were created in Christ Jesus. Now, do you know how many times the Apostle Paul actually quotes Jesus in his writings? Paul wrote a whole lot in the New Testament, and his mind is saturated with Jesus. And yet, Paul only quotes Jesus 3 times in all of his writings. And yet, Paul uses the phrase "in Christ" more than 160 times in his writing. See, for Paul, the most amazing thing about Jesus is not his teaching, as remarkable as his teaching is. But for Paul, the most amazing thing about Jesus is that Jesus will live in us and that we can live in him. And as we do that, as he lives in us and we live in him, he begins to grow us up spiritually. And so you'll continually see the Apostle Paul say things in his writings. I've given you one example here, like in Colossians 1:27, where Paul says, to whom God willed to make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. See, the mystery among the Gentiles is that Christ could be in you. And that is the hope of glory. You've probably heard this story before, but I think it shows a really good picture of what Paul's talking about here. There's this little girl in the doctor's office going to the pediatrician, and this doctor, since this doctor's a pediatrician, works with children all the time, so he's always trying to, you know, have fun with the kids and so forth. And so that's what he's doing with this little girl. And so he looks in her ears, and he says to the little girl, "I wonder if Big Bird is in here." You know, she says, "No, Big Bird is not on my ears." Then he looks in her nose and he says to her, "You know, I wonder if Cookie Monster's in here." And she says, "No, Cookie Monster's not on my nose." And then he gets out his stethoscope and he checks out her heart and he says, "I wonder if Barney is in your heart." And she says, "No, Jesus is in my heart. Barney's on my underwear." And see, that's sort of what Paul's telling us here. He's telling us that in the deepest part, if you're a follower of Jesus, that in the deepest part of who you are in Christ. You're in Christ. And see, even the person who knows you the best, you're still separated from them at some level. You know, we're bodily creatures, and we can't know all about how each of us are thinking. And yet, as followers of Jesus, we are in Christ, and so Jesus can, and Jesus does. And that's why Jesus is closer to you than anybody else. See, if you're a follower of Jesus, one thing that means is that Jesus is indwelling you right now through His Holy Spirit. He's indwelling you, and once you invite Him in, once you surrender your life to Him, He will never ever leave you. You are in Christ. Jesus said right before He ascended to heaven, "Lo, I will be with you always, even to the end of the age." See, He set His affection, He set His love on you, and He's constantly at work in you. And that's part of the adventure of getting to know Jesus better. He's constantly at work in you, and He's trying to grow you up. He's trying to grow me up into the person that He created me to be. He's continually growing us into God's workmanship. And you know what? He's always at work doing this. You know, not just when you're at church. You know, so often we compartmentalize our spiritual transformation. We compartmentalize our spiritual growth and think that spiritual growth only happens when we're involved in certain activities. You know, we make it certain parts of our life. But the truth is, God is forming you. God is shaping you all the time. And God is committed to growing you up. And God knows exactly what you need in order to grow. He knows what relationships you need in order to grow. He knows what problems you need to come into your life in order to grow. He knows what experiences you need. He knows what groups you need to be a part of. He knows what teachings, what learnings you need in order to grow. See, God knows exactly what will help every single human being grow spiritually. And you know what? It will never look exactly the same for any one of us. It'll never look exactly the same. Oftentimes we think that everybody just grows spiritually the same way, but we don't. We don't. In fact, just think about how differently God treated His different children in the Bible. Just think how differently He treated them. Because He grows us up in ways that are different because we're all created different. You know, I read this somewhere, but I think it really illustrates the truth that God doesn't treat us all the same way. That He chooses what's best for us in order to grow us. This writer wrote this: God had Abraham take a walk, Elijah take a nap, Joseph take a lap, and Adam take a rap. God gave Moses a 40-year time out. He gave David a harp and a dance. He gave Paul a pen and a scroll. God wrestled with Jacob, argued with Job, whispered to Elijah, warned Cain, and comforted Hagar. God gave Aaron an altar, Miriam a song, Gideon a fleece, Peter a name, and Elisha a mantle. Jesus was stern with the rich young ruler, tender with the woman caught in adultery, challenging with the disciples, blistering with the scribes, gentle with the children, and gracious with the thief on the cross. See, God never grows up two people the same way. God is not a mass producer. He's a hand crafter. And now it's your turn. Because you are the workmanship of God. You were created in Christ Jesus. I mean, think about it this way. God has existed from all of eternity. And yet God has never had a relationship with you before. And so now God wants to do a new thing. And he'll do it in a new way that doesn't look exactly the same way as everybody else. And so don't compare yourself with somebody else. Instead, what you need to do is ask God and say, God, how do you want to grow me up? Paul says we were made to live and grow in God. And as we do that, we're created for impact. And then the third thing Paul says in Ephesians 2:10 is that we are meant to live our lives as an adventure from one moment to the next. See, we're supposed to be continually asking God, God, what do you want me to do? God, where do you want me to serve? God, who do you want me to touch? God, you know, how do you want me to influence somebody else's life? Like we sang earlier, God, where do you want me to go? Where you lead, I will follow. We're to be asking those questions all the time. And see, God's intent is that your life would actually be an adventure in making an impact. Now, here's the thing that's kind of weird about that. You know, everybody wants to have meaning in their life. Everybody wants their life to make an impact. Everybody wants their life to matter. Everybody wants their life to be filled up. But when I make the aim of my life filling up my own life, that's when I get empty on the inside. But when I let go of my life and I say to God, God, how do you want to use me? God, how do you want me to help this other person? See, that's when my life starts to get filled up. It happens as I give my life away. But see, I have to say to God, God, I'm signing up for this adventure. Wherever you want me to go, I'll go. Whatever you want me to do, I'll do. Whoever you want me to talk to, I'll do it. God, I'm signing up. Let me ask you, have you ever done that? Have you ever really just said, God, I'll do whatever you want me to do? And this is kind of a sobering thought. You know, where in the Bible does God ever give anybody an easy job? You know, where in the Bible does God come to somebody like Moses and say, Moses, here's what I want you to do. Or come to somebody like David or Ruth or Esther. Here's what I want you to do. And then that person says back to God, okay, God, no problem. I can do that, a piece of cake. Nobody ever says that, do they? How does almost everybody in the Bible respond when God tells them to do something? They almost all respond the same way. They say, no way, God, I'm not able. I'm afraid. That's why the most common commandment in the Bible is do not fear. Do not be afraid. God says you don't have to be afraid because if I called you to do this, I'll be with you. Some of you need to hear that. God is calling you to something and you've been afraid and that fear has been immobilizing you. And God is saying to you this morning, I will be with you. Move forward, I'll be with you. And one of the things I love about the New Testament is that the New Testament never says, and then the disciples were bored. Never says that. And yet, you know why? Because when you fully follow Jesus, it's not a boring life. And yet boredom has become one of the biggest problems in our society. You know, all of you know that we have this saying in our society, very prevalent, same old, right? Same old, same old. I want to read you something from a pastor by the name of Mike Brough about same old, same old. He says this, you wake up at the same old time, get out of the same old bed, go into the same old bathroom, look into the same old mirror, shave the same old face, take the same old shower, dry off with the same old towel, walk into the same old kitchen, pour the same old cereal into the same old bowl, kiss the same old wife on the same old cheek, get into the same old car, drive off to the same old job, sit in the same old chair, listen to the same old boss, tell the same old jokes, laugh in the same old way, clock out at the same old time, get back in the same old car, drive down the same old road into the same old house with the same old door, eat the same old dinner, fall asleep in the same old chair watching the same old news, get up, get into the same old bed, ask your wife the same old question, get the same old answer, roll over, go back to sleep, and that's it from one day to the next, to the next, to the next. I don't really know why you're clapping about that. But God didn't make human beings for same old, same old. You know, the same pastor, Mike Brough, he says that there are two ways of getting into a swimming pool. And he says that you can actually sort of divide human beings up into the ways they get into a swimming pool, two kinds of human beings. The first way, he says, is that some people, this is kind of how I do it, it's certainly the way my daughter Zoe, she's 10, she gets into a swimming pool, you take the incremental approach. You know, you put one foot in, oh, that's cold. You know, and then you eventually put the other foot in. Oh, that's cold. And then, 5 minutes go by, and then you take the next step, and you get in up to your knees. You know, oh, that's so cold. Takes you 20 minutes to get into the pool, and you're miserable the whole time. All right? That's one way. The other way, he says, is you cannonball. You get in. That's my son, Luke. You cannonball into the pool, and that the cannonball, see, is designed to make maximum impact. Because when you cannonball, the impact, the ripples, they go all the way to the edge of the pool, don't they? And if there were no edges on the pool, the impact, the ripples would just keep going and going and going. And see, that is God's plan for your life and mine. We were created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And so the question you need to ask yourself is, where is there a need? Where is there a possibility? Where is there a dream? Where is the Holy Spirit prompting me? Because my life is designed to make an impact. See, circumstances may be keeping you from getting promotions right now. Circumstances may be keeping you from getting more possessions or recognition, but I want you to know, no circumstance can keep you from making an impact. No circumstance can keep you from touching the lives of other people around you. And there are hundreds of people in our church that have made and are making a huge impact with their life. You know, every one of you that serves in children's ministry on a regular basis, I want to remind you this morning that you are making a huge impact with your life because you are changing the lives of children. You really are. Those of you who serve in our youth ministry, I want to remind you this morning that your life is making a huge impact because you're helping to change the lives of young people. In fact, if you serve in our church in any way, your life is making a huge impact. And I want to remind you this morning that if you give money to this church, your life is making a huge impact. You know why? Because when you give money to Vineyard North Phoenix, you are helping all kinds of people who are in need. Some of your money is going to help give medical care, free medical care, to people in our community that don't have any. When you give to this church, you're helping people, lots of people, thousands of people, to get food and to get clothing. When you give money to our church, you're helping to start other churches here in the Phoenix area and around the world. When you give money to our church, you're helping disciple people. You're helping transform people, ordinary people, into extraordinary followers of Christ. When you give money to our church, you're helping thousands of people come to faith in Jesus Christ. In fact, you know, we've been a church for a long time, over 26 years. And yet the first quarter of 2013, the first quarter this year, we had more people make first-time decisions to follow Jesus than any quarter in the history of our church. Praise God. See, when you give to this church financially, you really are doing what Jesus talks about in Matthew 6. You're storing up treasures in heaven. And you're making an incredible impact with your life. And I just want to take a moment as the senior pastor of this church and say thank you to all of those of you that give here on a regular basis. Because the truth is, without you, this church could not be able to continue. Because the ugly truth about ministry is that it takes money to do ministry. It really does. You cannot do ministry without money. And some of you in this room, you actually have the gift of making money. And then you're faithful to God with it. You tithe, you give over your tithe. And I want to just tell you, God bless you. You're faithful to God, and I want to encourage you, go make some more money. And I will pray for you. Because you really are making a huge impact when you give. And don't think you have to start off big in order to make an impact. Whether it's financially or in some kind of a ministry. You know, I think of so many people in our church who made such a huge impact with their life, but they began small. They just began where they were. You know, I think about our Single Mom Spa Day. It's coming up pretty soon that we impact hundreds and hundreds of single moms. It takes hundreds of volunteers to do this incredible outreach that we have. But it didn't start that way. You know, the young woman who had the first vision to do this, she just started serving a few, you know, she had a burden from God. She wanted to help single moms in some way. And so she did a little spa thing in somebody's home. Just a few handful of single moms came. Two or three maybe volunteers. And over the years, it's just grown into this incredible event. You know, I think about our Thanksgiving food basket outreach. If you've been part of our church, you know that we impact thousands and thousands of people when we give the food and so forth during Thanksgiving time. But it didn't start out that way. You know, it started out because we had a heart to help people around Thanksgiving time that couldn't afford a Thanksgiving meal. And so we had four or five volunteers. We served maybe 25 people or something that first year. You start out small. You know, I think about our food bank. Some of you don't even know that we actually have an entire building over here that all we do out of that building is compassion ministry. We have our free medical clinic there that's open every Saturday morning. We have our Saturday afternoon. We have our food ministry there, our clothing ministry. We do, you know, ESL, free ESL classes out of there, all kinds of different things. And so many pastors and leaders come from all over the nation, and they come to our compassion building, and they say to me, Brian Mal, this is an amazing compassion ministry that you have. And it is amazing. But it didn't start that way. You know how our food bank started? It started because we had a heart to help people that were in need. That's how it started. And so early on in our church, it's about 17, 18 years ago now, I had just hired Mario Fernandez as one of our associate pastors. Early on, Mario's still with us, you know, does a great job. He came on our staff. And so as one of his responsibilities, I asked Mario, we had done a few things in the food area, but it wasn't organized and all that. And I said, Mario, I want you to oversee starting a food bank out of our ministry. And so he took that on, and you know where we started? We literally started our food bank in a closet. It was in another location, in a closet in our church, and we would open the food bank every Saturday morning, and there would be one, maybe two guests that would show up, sometimes none. And we had one really faithful volunteer and Mario, and that's where it started. And then we moved it, a few more guests began to come for food, and the need became a little greater, and so we moved it into a little bigger area in our church, and it just incrementally grew over the years into what it is now. But see, the bottom line is this. If you want to make an impact with your life, you have to start somewhere. Because God created you for good works. He really did. And remember, I told you last weekend, we change the world one life at a time. Don't think you have to start out with this huge thing. We change the world one life at a time, one neighbor at a time, one coworker at a time, one friend at a time, one loved one at a time. And we have an incredible opportunity coming up in 3 weekends, the first weekend in May, that God may want to use you to help change somebody's life and begin to change the world. We're going to have a service on the weekend of May 4th and 5th that's really geared toward people that have never been to our church before. Now, it's going to be beneficial to all of you that are here, so don't think, well, you know, this is just for new people. No, it's going to be geared for all of us, but we're going to be especially sensitive to people that have never been to our church. You know, kind of like we did at Easter. And what I want you to do is pray about who God might want you to invite. I'm going to do a message called Follow or Admire, that service. And at the end of the service, I'm going to give an opportunity for people to receive Christ. If you've been working on a neighbor, a coworker, a friend, a loved one, you know, talking to them about Jesus, inviting them and so forth, man, this is a great service for you to invite them to. There's an invitation card that's in your bulletin, says Follow or Admire. Use this. Give it to somebody. They're more in the information center. You can go online and send an e-vite to somebody. You know, maybe you invited some people for Easter and they didn't show up. Go back to them and say, you know, we're having this service that's really geared for people that have never been to our church before. Really love for you to come. You know, we change the world one life at a time. And maybe by your simple invitation, God will use you to help change somebody's life. But are you involved in any good works? Maybe. Just maybe that's one of the good works that God created before you were ever born for you to walk in, to just invite somebody. Or maybe for you it's serving. You know, are you serving in any way? Are you making an impact? You know, I want to give you one last thought. You know, maybe one of the greatest kingdom impact makers in the kingdom of God is sitting in this room right now. Nobody knows. Maybe that person is sitting right next to you. Maybe that person is you. I don't know. But I do know this. God wants you to make an impact. And that's one of the reasons why He created you. Let's stand. Would you mind closing your eyes for a moment? You don't have to do this, but I want you to try to connect with God. And at least for me, when I block out the distractions, it really helps me try to connect with God. And maybe this is new to you. You're like, what do you mean connect with God? Well, just try to open your heart right now, because this is something we do at the end of all of our services here at the Vineyard. We give people an opportunity, if they want to, from their heart, to respond to God. And I believe that God has been speaking into some of your hearts and minds this morning, and He wants you to respond in some way. And so if there's something that God has been speaking to you about right now, just in your heart between you and God, right now would be a great time to do some spiritual business with God. And I don't know what God may have been speaking to you about, but I think some of you are having a light bulb come on that you really are created for good works. That God really did plan some things for your life before you were ever born, just like Paul tells us. And maybe you're not really walking in those good works like you know you should. I want to remind you this morning that grace is available to you right now. If you'll just turn your heart back to God, confess your sins, repent of your sins, and say, God, I want to be yours again. I want to walk in those good works. I don't even know what they are for sure, but God, I want you to lead me. Just like we sang earlier, Where you lead, I will follow. You know, we have a saying around here at the Vineyard, God, I'm a coin in your pocket. Spin me any way that you want to. You can spin me on bubblegum if that's what you want. You can spin me on caviar, but God, I'm yours. Wherever you want me to go, whatever you want me to do, whoever you want me to talk to, however way you want me to serve, whatever amount of money you want me to give to your cause, God, my life is yours. Some of you need to rededicate your life to Jesus this morning. Some of you might need to dedicate your life to Jesus for the very first time. You know, maybe you thought you came to the Vineyard today for various reasons, but the truth is God brought you here because he wanted to say to you through me that you matter to him and you matter to us. Your life matters. And God wants to have a relationship with you through Jesus. And we can help introduce you to Jesus this morning. And I would encourage you to come to the altar after the service and tell one of our ministry team members that you want to surrender your life to Jesus. And we'll give you a free Bible. If you don't have a Bible, we'll help you in this. In fact, if the ministry team would come to the altar right now, just slip out quietly, that'd be great. You know, maybe God is speaking to you today about serving. You haven't really been serving anywhere, and that really is God's will for his followers, that you would serve. So I don't know where God might be calling you to serve, but when you serve in this church, you're making an impact with your life. Maybe it's in children's ministry. Maybe it's in youth ministry. Maybe it's an usher, a greeter, coffee bar, bookstore. Maybe it's coming in during the week and helping out. We have a thousand things to do during the week that we could use volunteers. If you want to know more information about that, you can always go to the information center and find out who to contact. You know, maybe God is speaking to you about making an impact, more of an impact with your life financially. Maybe you haven't really thought about the fact that it actually takes money to change people's lives. And those of you that are giving here on a regular basis, you are changing people's lives. And maybe God is speaking to you about beginning to give or beginning to give more or whatever. If that's what God is saying to you, you need to say, yes, Lord. Maybe God is putting on your heart right now somebody that he wants you to invite to this service that we're going to have on May 4th and 5th. Maybe it's a coworker, maybe a neighbor, maybe somebody's new in your life, a new relationship of some kind. And God is saying, I want you to look for opportunities to invite that person. Maybe you need to even pray, God, would you give me opportunities right now? Would you give me opportunities this coming week to invite that neighbor, that coworker, that friend? Just come, Holy Spirit, have your way. Maybe you'd like someone to pray for you this morning before you go. We pray for people here at the end of our services all the time. We pray for the sick that need healing. We pray for people who feel like they're under demonic attack. We pray for people that are going through difficulties of one kind or another. We pray for people that need emotional healing. We pray for jobs. We pray for any and everything that you would have a personal need for. And so if you'd like someone to pray for you, just when we dismiss in just a moment, come to the altar here and find one of our ministry team members. We would love to pray for you. And we'll continue this series next weekend, Created for Impact. God, thank you for your presence here this morning. And I pray for all my friends here as they go their separate ways, God. I pray that you'd bless each one. Bless them, keep them, cause your face to shine upon them, be gracious to them. Lift up your favor to them, Lord, and give them peace now, I pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, before you go, say hi to some people around you. If you don't know them, introduce yourself. Have a great rest of your day. See you soon.